evening all. We're in the last in our series, In the Armour of God, Ephesians chapter 6. But before we dive into there, if you were to go out of this room, out of this building, take your car and drive down the M62, and then turn right down the M6, then left off towards Stoke, you'll find yourself on the A50. It's the most boring road in the world. But anyway, you keep going past Uttoxeter, through Stoke, past Derby, until eventually you turn left up the M1. When you've turned up the M1, you then turn left off at Junction 25, and then up a road called the A52. And when you're at the end of that road, you'll be in a suburb of Nottingham called Towton. Now, Towton is in the southwest area of Nottingham on the Nottinghamshire-Derbyshire border. And there in Towton, you'll find a house. And it's a house with a blue front door. And it's a door that I can go through at any time, because I've got a key. I can walk through that door, past the first room on the right, into the second. I'm in the kitchen. There's a fridge full of stuff that I can help myself to. I can walk right out of that room, put my feet up on the couch in the living room, turn the heating on, put the telly on. I can go upstairs into the second room on the left. I can make myself a bed for the night. If I turn left out of that room to the next room along, I can run myself a bath or have a shower. Why can I do all of that in this particular house? Why can I do all of that? Because it's my Father's house. I'm welcome anytime. So as we dive into this topic of prayer from Ephesians chapter 6, I want to remind us that prayer, the essence of prayer, is relating to God as our Father. Being able to boldly come into his presence at any time. Prayer, I want us to remember, is a direct gift of the gospel, a direct result of Jesus' work at Calvary. When he hung there on that cross between heaven and earth, your sin and your shame, my sin and my shame, was put on him. And his righteousness, his goodness, his perfection was put onto us. And there, at that moment at Calvary, if you're a Christian here tonight, your sin was removed and Christ's perfection given to you. And as a result, we are brought into the same relationship with the Father that Jesus has with the Father, so that we're able to call Jesus brother and God Father. Jesus taught his disciples, didn't he, when he taught them to pray, not to call God, even though it's right to, Almighty God or Lord, but to start with the word Father. When we pray, we're speaking to our Father. And Romans chapter 8 reminds us that you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, in the original language, means dad, or daddy, or papa. We can call God dad. The intimacy, the joy of access to God, bought for us at the cross, bought for you at the cross. And in this battle, this spiritual battle that we find ourselves in, if you're a Christian here tonight, you're in one. In the middle of this spiritual battle, we have the ability to approach the general himself, to speak to the commander himself. And in prayer, we admit our inability, we admit our lack of strength, and our need of God to help us in this struggle. In prayer, we admit our need for God. And so, if I'm admitting my need for God in prayer, why so often am I prayerless? I'm practically an atheist sometimes, day to day, when I'm prayerless. I'm saying that I don't need God, that I'm self-dependent, that I'm not dependent on him who gives me life and breath and everything else, and the strength to walk in this battle. And as I stand up here this evening, I admit I am no giant in prayer. I'm not some prayer warrior standing up here tonight. I'm not. And maybe when you heard there was a sermon on prayer coming up, maybe your heart sank a bit and you thought, this is going to be so revealing about my prayerlessness my lack of ability to pray, then I'm going to be discouraged. Well, I want you to remember, you're a sinner, and I'm a sinner, but Jesus is the friend of us sinners. And Jesus has made it so that we can step into our Father's house, into our Father's throne room, and come to him at any time for his strength, for his might, for his power. And so I want us to walk out of that door at the end of this evening, remembering that prayer is something to be taken hold of, to be enjoyed, and that, as Bill reminded me this week, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance to answer, but just laying hold of his willingness to answer. We come to a Father who loves us, who loves to hear us, who loves to talk with us, and who wants to arm us for this battle. So as we've been reminded what prayer is, we're going to dive in to what Ephesians chapter 6 says about prayer. We're going to see when to pray, how to pray, and then finally, why we pray. So look down at the Bible, verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6, when to pray. I'll start in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Well, that was an easy first point. Pray at all times. Pray being alert. Pray persevering. But let's dive in a bit more to what Paul is driving at. He tells us to pray at all times and to be alert and persevering in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 as well, he says to pray without ceasing, doesn't he? But what does he mean? I mean, I'm no apostle. Isn't that a bit unreasonable? I can't have my hands together, eyes closed, 24/7. So what's Paul driving us towards? What's he trying to show us here? Of course, Paul's been speaking in combat talk, hasn't he? Talk of a battle. So what I think Paul is bringing us towards is he's reminding us to live in a prayerful attitude throughout the day, an attitude of prayerful dependence on that God who loves to hear and that God who loves to give. And that's an attitude, Christians this evening, that will likely result in praying frequently throughout the day, praying often throughout the day, in short, quick prayers. When you're brushing your teeth, when you're on the way to work, when you're typing an email, when you turn in the garden, when you're driving home from work, when you're in the shower, wherever it may be, we are able to pray. That is the access we have got. That is the joy we have got because of the gospel. Does that mean we should never have solid times of prayer? Well, no, absolutely not. I think that is Jesus set himself times aside, didn't he, to pray. And he went to be by himself to pray. We should absolutely have disciplined times of prayer, whether that's in the morning, at lunchtime, in the evening for 10, 15, 20 minutes. That's a great thing to do. Do it and pray in those times. And those times will likely be a real source of prayerful strength and energy to go throughout the rest of the day praying. But we're always to be alert in praying for us and for others. Throughout the day, always persevering in praying for us and for others. It's appropriate to remember on Remembrance Sunday, with Remembrance Day itself coming up tomorrow, the job of a First World War sentry. Now, I was going to bring in a bayonet this evening, but I thought I might get arrested on the way here, so I didn't. But a First World War soldier, from time to time, would be asked to keep watch across no man's land. They had to be alert, they had to be ready, they had to be vigilant to see if any attack was going to come over the top. So in order to stay awake, many soldiers would place this bayonet on top of their rifle. And they would stand with the point of the bayonet under the chin, so that should they start to fall asleep or nod off, the point of the bayonet would be there to wake them back into vigilance, so they were ready for any attack. I think, too, that's what Paul is trying to get us to, that we're to be ready in prayer throughout the day, ready to respond to each and every situation with prayer, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Spurgeon said, didn't he, famously, I can't remember ever praying longer than 20 minutes, but I can't remember 20 minutes where I didn't pray. Spurgeon also said that we are to punctuate the day with prayer. So as you see a sentence, maybe look down in your Bible and look at any sentence, you'll find it punctuated. Commas, full stops, brackets, apostrophes. So it's to be with prayer throughout our days. Always living in a spirit of humble, prayerful dependence on God our Father in the middle of this battle that we find ourselves in. Now, if you're anything like me, you're quite weak in prayer. And if you're anything like me, you'll often use busyness as a reason for why you haven't prayed. And I found this tweet from John Piper, if you could just have the next slide, that really cut me to the heart. One of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from lack of time. Now, maybe I'm speaking to a particular generation here. I don't mind. There'll be other distractions that are relevant to others as well. But when I think about the amount of time sometimes I just waste picking up my phone and scrolling through a newsfeed, picking up my phone and going through the latest stuff on the internet, what has that achieved for me, really? And yet I'm too busy to pray. So here's a challenge for us. Next time we're tempted to just pick up the smartphone and waste away a few minutes, instead of logging into Facebook or to Twitter or logging into Instagram or to respond to that latest ping from WhatsApp, why don't we just put the phone down for a second and just instead step into the throne room of God? We're to be always alert, always persevering, always ready to pray and to pray at all times. So that's when to pray. Ephesians 6 also, I would suggest, tells us how to pray in a number of ways. Verse 18, we're to pray in the Spirit. Do you see that? Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit. In other words, we're to pray dependent on the Holy Spirit's help to hear us and to aid us. We're to pray dependent on the relationship that Jesus has bought for us, that is now enabled and energized by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit enables our prayers and helps us and carries those prayers to the Father. Again, even when there are no words, even when we don't know what we're going to pray, the Spirit then is even there praying for us, as Romans 8 again tells us. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. This is verse 26. For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We're to pray in the Spirit, dependent upon him, upon his power, and with him as our help and our guide. And praying in the Spirit is not about working up into some kind of prayer trance. It's not about following a particular method of prayer or rubbing anything through your fingers. It's not about praying in a certain direction. It's not external. It's about your adopted heart and God's fatherly heart. As Jesus said again to his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is in secret will reward you. Pray, depend on the Holy Spirit himself, between your adopted heart and God's fatherly heart. So we're to pray in the Spirit. We're to pray as well with the Word. Look at this. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. Do you see there? We've got the sword of the Spirit, and then we're to pray in the Spirit. So there's a link there. The Spirit is involved in both of these things. And not only that, it says, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying. Take up the word of God, praying. We're to pray, Christians, with our Bibles open. Either in front of us or open in our minds, committed to memory. The word and prayer are linked. They're twins. They go together very often throughout the whole Bible as well. Acts chapter 6. The apostles, they elect deacons to take over the practical cares of the early church so that they can devote themselves to what? The ministry of the word and to prayer. In the Old Testament, in Nehemiah, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and other places, the word of the Lord is proclaimed, and the people respond with amen, amen, or with praise, or with repentance, whatever is appropriate. The word and the response of us in prayer go together. God's word, Holy Spirit's word, it convicts us, encourages us, amazes us at God's character, his beauty. And then we respond with the Holy Spirit's help in prayer. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, and then the Holy Spirit speaks back to God through us in prayer. Luther, one of the fathers, the father, really, of the Reformation, he suggested that when you next pray with your Bible open, think of these three things: adoration, confession, and supplication. What does what I'm reading cause me to praise and worship God for? How does it cause me to adore him? And then pray it. What does what I'm reading cause me to see about my own sin, my own failure, my need for repentance? And then pray about it. Turn to God in repentance, in prayer. What does what I'm reading cause me to ask God for my nation, for my church, for my family, for myself? Adoration, confession, and supplication. So we're to pray in the Spirit. We're to pray with the Word, with our Bibles open or committed to memory. And verse 18, we're to pray for all the saints. See that? Making supplication for all the saints. That means praying broad sweeping prayers for the church in China, for the persecuted church, for the church in North America, for the church down the road, for Long Lane, for Christchurch, for Bethel, for Cornerstone. It means praying for all the saints, even those that you're in this room with tonight. Praying for all the saints. Praying for all the saints even means praying for those that really wound you up last week. It means praying for those that really got your back up last week, for those that perhaps you've held a grudge against for too long. It means praying for them too. Have you noticed how, when you're praying for that person, maybe that's let you down or offended you, when you're praying for them, it's very difficult to resent them or hate them, isn't it? When you're praying for a blessing from God for them. So pray for all the saints. Verse 19 and 20, Paul asks for prayer specifically for himself, doesn't he? So we're to pray for specific saints. We're to pray for individuals. We're to pray for those that we know are struggling. We're to pray for those that we know are on the mountaintop, that they would be full of all the fullness of Christ, that they'd be rooted and grounded in this faith that we share, that they would have strength in this battle that we all find ourselves in. Pray for all the saints and for specific saints. Paul also requests prayer that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. We're to pray for the advance of the gospel message, for the advance of the kingdom. Paul doesn't ask for a change in his immediate circumstances, does he? He doesn't ask that his chains be removed. He says, I'm an ambassador in chains. He's not asking for the chains to go. He's just asking that the kingdom's going to carry on. He's asking that he would be brave enough and bold enough to speak up, even in the face of rejection, even in the face of death and threat. And we're to pray too, for each other, for our churches, for our youth ministries, for the jobs that we work in, that the gospel would go out boldly from us and from other Christians, and that the kingdom would advance, that people would come into God's kingdom, would understand what Christ did for them at Calvary, and would rejoice in the fact that he rose again from the dead for them, and be able to pray in that same relationship that you and I share as well. So we're to pray in the Spirit, with our Bibles open, for all the saints and for individuals, and for the advancing of the kingdom of God. The next slide just shows something quite helpful that I found, again, from Mr. Piper. FADES, F-A-D-E-S, a helpful way of helping us think about the various different ways that we could class all prayer. Various different ways we could pray. Free and formed, pray off the cuff, or pray with a written prayer that you've put together. Pray alone, pray assembled as the church. Pray desperately in crisis. Pray delightedly when you're full of joy for what the gospel has done, when you're full of joy and excitement at who Jesus is and the beauty of his work. Pray explosively, short, snappy prayers. Pray extended. Pray spontaneously, over coffee, perhaps, after the service. Put your arm around someone. Let's pray. It shouldn't be weird for us. Pray spontaneously, or pray scheduled. Set a time to come together, to meet, and to pray. That's just a helpful little aside at the end of how to pray before we move on into why we pray. Bill shared with us again this morning. We may have all seen these before, but I've got one of these as well. It's a gospel of John, a replica of the type given to soldiers going on active service between 1914 and 1918. And the missionary society that gave these gospels out would receive letters back from soldiers at the front. And one of them reads like this. Only recently, I was in a very big engagement when bullets and shells were bursting all around us every minute, and none of us knew when one would burst and blow us to pieces. Dear friend, that was the time when I turned to God and prayed for protection, and he has answered my prayers. Last night, during my watching time, I remembered what you told me about the Lord Jesus and sin and the mercy of God. I was feeling the wings of death flying over my head, and at that solemn moment, I prayed for the first time in many years. It's amazing, isn't it? A letter written from the trenches about a soldier who prayed for protection in the middle of a battle against flesh and against blood. But we pray for strength and for protection in the middle of a battle. Not between two trenches, not with bullet and bomb and barbed wire, but we're praying for strength and might and power and protection in a spiritual battle. A battle against the devil, against an enemy who is stronger than you and stronger than me, against an enemy who is not messing about, against an enemy who comes at us with temptation, temptation to lust, temptation to slander, temptation to gossip, temptation to stick the knife in the back of someone else, temptation to get distracted by other things that aren't good for us or for the kingdom. An enemy who comes at us with distraction after distraction, torment after torment, things designed to knock us off that narrow way. The devil comes at us time and again, telling us that we're not good enough, telling us that we should just give up. He's a fearsome foe, a fearsome enemy. An enemy who will put rejection in our way, who will put suffering in our way to cause us to stop naming the name of Christ. The devil is serious about this. He's not messing about. As Bill said, he hates this passage because it will drive us to pray. And he hates it when we pray. He hates it when we pray. Why? Because in prayer, we come to that Father. We come to that mighty God, that mighty Father. Look at verses 10 to 13. This is why we pray. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Jesus as well, in Luke chapter 21. He says this in verse 36, but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. We pray, brothers and sisters, that we might be able to stand. Yes, the enemy is powerful, but we pray that we might be able to stand, not in our strength, not in our might, not in our power, but in his strength, his might, and his power, with his armor on. It's not your armor, it's his. And so we need to ask God for his armor. We need to ask God for his strength. We need to ask God for his help in this battle. And yes, Jesus was a lamb for us at Calvary. But when we come to him in prayer, you'll find he's very much a lion for you in this battle that we find ourselves in. He is the mighty warrior. He is the one who will wrap everything up in his victory at the end of time. And it's his strength we need. It's his armor we need to stand. What a weapon then prayer is. What a weapon it is against the foe, against the devil. And so we need to pray for God's armor. We need to pray that we would stand having fastened on that belt of truth, understanding the truth about the gospel, understanding the truth about Jesus, following the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Pray. Pray that you would know that. Pray that you would live that. Pray then as well that you would put on that breastplate of righteousness, that you'd remember your righteousness gets you nowhere, but Christ's righteousness has saved you, and Christ's righteousness will keep on saving you until you stand in eternity. Put that breastplate on. Pray it on. We need to pray as well that we'd be ready to take that gospel of peace wherever we might be going. Pray that we'd be filled with that peace ourselves and ready to give it out to others. Pray that you would have that readiness. Pray as well that you would take up that shield of faith, that you remember it's not the strength of your faith that saves you and helps you and keeps you. It's the strength of him upon whom you rely. It's his strength. He is the mighty tower. He is the refuge. He is the fortress. It's him. So pick up that shield. Pray that you would pick up that shield each and every day. Pray too that you put on that helmet of salvation, that your mind would be protected from all the schemes of the devil, and that your mind would be full of the hope of eternity. Pray that you would be excited, rejoicing each day, that one day you won't need to pray with your eyes closed anymore, because you'll be praying with your eyes open, because you'll be looking at Jesus face to face. That will be our prayer in that day. So pray that you would glory in the hope of your salvation, and let that take you through Monday, tomorrow. Pray also with your Bible open. Commit it to your heart, to your mind, to your memory. Plead God's promises back to him. Remember God's promises as you pray. Feast on his word. Rejoice in his name, in his character, in his goodness to you, in the gospel truth. And let that fuel your prayers. I read this in this, I've got a book at home, Christian Hymns. I love reading through them sometimes. The one by William Cowper, where it says, restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Prayer is a formidable weapon. Prayer is where we come to our Father because we are enabled to come to him through Jesus. It's not easy. It's not easy. We're distracted. Everything conspires against the Christian to pray. But what a joy to do it. What a joy to obey this command. What a joy to go into Monday, tomorrow, knowing that we don't stand on our own strength, but in the strength of the one who gives us his armor. So tomorrow, arm yourselves. Get properly dressed by praying. Come to God in prayer. What a joy. What a privilege, you could say, to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's stand and sing this joyfully and prayerfully.